Thanks, Greg. I'm backstage with organist Paul Jacobs, who's just finished the Iowa-born composer Michael Daugherty. And what a piece of music this is. It's all about the Hirst family.
Yes, indeed. Well, Michael gave me a workout in his music and as well as the whole orchestra, and we had great fun with it all.
I have to say, the Philadelphia Orchestra really seems to take to the piece.
Yes, they do. And, of course, the orchestral musicians are the ultimate test, because if they don't like something, you know it. But when they do, my goodness, they play their hearts out.
Well, I'm lucky I got to hear this. I was glad I was able to get down here for this and got to one of the rehearsals as well. I have to say, now, the Fred J. Cooper Memorial Organ, you seem to really be at home with it.
Yes. Well, of course, I've played it many times, and I feel very much at home with this great concert hall organ, really one of the finest in North America.
Well, I understand it's, I think, the 47th largest organ in the country, something like 7,000 pipes.
Yeah, it definitely shakes the ground. And that's what you want with an organ. It needs to be powerful. It needs to create an earthquake. But on the other side of thing, it needs to purr gently to caress the listener and intrigue with some of its unusual colors.
In other words, it has to be as flexible as possible. And a piece like this, it certainly has to be.
And it really is. I mean, I just love some of the unusual effects, of course, in the third movement that Michael gets from it. And there's a level of leeway for the organist to choose the combination of stops. It's like a painter choosing different colors on a palette.
Yeah, and this is very much like a painting, I guess. It's not so much a blow-by-blow view or history of the Hirst family, but just little pictures here and there, and including, I guess, the Orson Welles film.
Absolutely. And of course, Michael is known for taking these popular themes and distilling them into music. And I think he does it just beautifully with the Hirsts.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. Now, when you come into a performance venue like this, or any performance venue, organs like these have any number of programmable permutations, and I understand this one has thousands available. How much preparation goes into each performance?
For an organist, quite a bit. So I have to arrive a few days before the first rehearsal with the orchestra, just refamiliarizing myself with the organ console, where all the buttons and stops are located, and then making the selections of the colors, the different sounds, programming them into the instrument's memory. So all of that can be recalled when I push a button.
Yeah, because I was watching you closely. I mean, you move very fast. You've really got a facility for, I mean, you've got the pedal adjusters and everything at your disposal there. And if you don't watch carefully, I mean, you move so fast, nobody would really notice.
Yeah, that's very true. We get a workout, organists do, and I'm glad, because it's about the only exercise I get.
Well, I studied organ a bit in my junior high years in my hometown, and I remember all the organists I knew had special shoes for the job.
And I do have special shoes. I played some of our rehearsals in my socks, which is how I began playing the organ, in my socks. And it still feels pretty comfortable, quite honestly.
Yeah. Well, it's just like any trick of the trade. I mean, I'm a double bass player. You know, there are certain things I have to have equipment-wise. But if you're arriving that early to get something done, you're just like the percussion section, because they're like the first ones to arrive at the rehearsal and they're the last ones to leave.
That's exactly right. I've made many percussion friends over the years in that setting.
Now, this particular piece, you premiered the revised version of this. I understand originally this was a consortium of orchestras in the Midwest that initially premiered this.
Yes, years ago, and then in 2015, Michael decided to rewrite, especially the last movement, to make it more virtuosic. And I performed this and recorded it with the Nashville Symphony a few years back.
Yeah, I believe we have it in the library at WRTI, so I was able to refer to that a bit, which is great. And now in Nashville, the organ there was built in memory of, was it Kenneth Skirmerhorn?
Yes, indeed, and by the Schoenstein Organ Company, also a very fine American organ builder, like the Dobson we have here at the Kimmel Center. And so American organ builders, they have really come into their own in the 20th century, but especially in the past few decades. They're some of the finest in the world.
Now, this particular work, how much communication did you have to go back and forth with Mr. Daugherty?
Not a whole lot. Michael is a very careful composer, very meticulous in detail, And everything that he does is very sensibly laid out. He wants musicians to enjoy playing his music. So it's all idiomatically conceived, and there are no unusual, unnecessary notes.
I wondered how much input he has into the organ settings with you, or does he leave that up to you?
A little bit of both. He has a few general timbres in mind, but ultimately it has to be up to the organist just because every instrument is so different.
Exactly. You might have a stop that you can use here that you go to the next town and doesn't have to stop for the same piece, so you have to improvise.
Absolutely right. That's what makes this a fresh experience each and every time. Even with repertoire that I've played so many times, I look at it with new eyes and new ears.
Well, it's like some conductors, I can name a few, but it's really not necessary, who always believe that each time you play a work, it's reborn. And I imagine that's very much the same with you.
Yes, it needs to be. Obviously, a lot of thought has to be given to every performance. But in the end, it must sound fresh, like it's just being born for the first time.
Well, I really have enjoyed this work, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the concert. I'll be going back out for that. But I believe it's Elgar they're doing. But this has really been revelatory, listening to this work. And now I got to go and pick up my own copy of that Naxos CD, because this is really impressive.
Oh, thanks very much. It's always a pleasure.
Now, where do you go from here? What's next for you?
Well, I'm actually going to be going over to Europe, to Bamberg, to Poland for performance, and playing a solo recital in a new concert hall in Paris.
Well, no rest for the weary, I guess. I hope you get some downtime somewhere. But I have to tell you, this has been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. Paul Jacobs, who is here in Philadelphia, not for the first time by any means, and just gave us a wonderful rendition of Once Upon a Castle, music of Michael Dougherty. Greg Whiteside will take it back to you in the WRTI broadcast booth.